This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, July 9th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. No amnesty. Trump to open new tariff front. EPA hears feedback on RVOs. Latest message to farms. No amnesty. President Donald Trump is facing a backlash from some of his base over his promises to shield farm workers from mass deportation. So Trump and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins stressed at separate events yesterday that there will be no amnesty for farm workers. Rollins said the deportations would be done in a strategic way. She went on to suggest that people now on Medicaid would provide a source of farm labor as new work requirements kick in under Trump's budget bill. Rollins was asked to explain what Trump means by saying he'll give farms a temporary pass from deportations, but she did not elaborate. The bottom line, uncertainty for agriculture is going to continue. The administration is working on reforms to the H-2A program, but we don't have a timetable for that. Don't miss Rollins unveiled a plan yesterday for addressing foreign farmland ownership. Trump set to open new tariff front. Today was supposed to be the deadline for the Trump tariff deals, but while the tariff deadline has been punted, Trump is pressing ahead with plans to open a new front in his long-running fight to reshore U.S. production with tariffs targeting copper imports. The president said yesterday that the administration is planning a 50% tariff on copper, with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick telling CNBC that the duty could go into effect before August. Trump also previewed forthcoming duties on pharmaceutical products that he said would land, quote, very soon. Why it matters? Well, the last time Trump slapped tariffs on metal imports, the European Union assembled a list of proposed retaliatory measures that include a raft of U.S. ag products. The U.S. imports almost half of all copper used domestically, while Chile, Canada, and Mexico are among the top suppliers. Chilean officials have been touting the mutual benefits of bilateral trade and the U.S.-Chile Free Trade Agreement in order to secure relief from just such a tariff. The Chilean ambassador to the United States highlighted to AgriPulse in May the significant growth of U.S. ag exports to the country under the deal. Now for Oliver Ward's report from Brussels on how the European Union is responding to Trump's tariff threats, you can check out our weekly newsletter today. Ag groups call for USTR chief ag negotiator nominee. More than 40 agricultural organizations are urging Trump to swiftly nominate his chief agriculture negotiator in the office of the U.S. Trade Representative. The administration is currently holding trade talks with more than a dozen U.S. trading partners, according to senior officials. A chief agriculture negotiator will optimize the United States' position to prevent missing time-sensitive opportunities to reduce trade barriers, open new markets, and eradicate unfair trade practices, groups say in a letter to the president. The American Farm Bureau Federation, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, International Fresh Produce Association, National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, and USA Rice are among the signatories. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Key lawmaker, renewing trade preference programs would offer more leverage. Congress should renew a slate of expiring and expired trade preference programs to give negotiators more leverage in ongoing trade negotiations, said Nebraska GOP Representative Adrian Smith. He chairs the Ways and Means Trade Subcommittee, making him one of the top trade legislators on Capitol Hill. I think it is important that we empower our trade negotiators to get leverage, and I think that could be done through some of these programs, Smith told reporters yesterday. Several trade preference programs that allow certain products to enter the U.S. tariff-free have expired or are expiring, including a program open to sub-Saharan African nations that is set to end in September. EPA hears mixed response on proposed RVOs. Biofuel groups have largely backed the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed renewable volume obligations, but they are calling for certainty on how the administration will handle current and future small refinery exemption requests. During an all-day public hearing, various groups testified on the EPA proposed RVOs for 26 and 27. The proposal went above the ask from various industry groups and included a major boost for biomass-based diesel. Representatives for the National Oilseed Processors Association, Growth Energy, Clean Fuels Alliance America, and the Renewable Fuels Association said they supported the proposed volumes. But many also raised lingering concerns about how the administration plans to address the backlog of SREs as well as future waiver requests. Congress intended for the SRE program to be short-lived and used sparingly for certain obligated parties, said David Mugler, president and CEO of NOPA. He said SRE applications must face strict, transparent review, and any waived gallons must be accounted for in order to preserve the integrity of the volumes. In the meantime, environmental groups like the Union of Concerned Scientists argued that the proposed expansion of the RVOs goes too far and would raise fuel and food prices for consumers. The proposal is still open to written comment period. Enviros intervene in Lake Erie pollution case. Three environmental groups have joined a lawsuit challenging EPA's approval of a nutrient reduction plan for Western Lake Erie. The plan was approved by EPA in 2023. The City of Toledo, Lucas County, and the Environmental Law and Policy Center sued the agency last year. Now, Lake Erie Waterkeeper, Food and Water Watch, and Waterkeeper Alliance have intervened on their side. The TMDL fails to hold factory farms accountable for their discharges and runoff, the groups say. The court rejected an attempt by farm groups to intervene in the case, concluding that their interests, quote, are adequately represented by U.S. EPA. First National Cover Crop Variety Test Report released. Researchers led by the University of Missouri's Center for Regenerative Agriculture have released the first National Cover Crop Variety Test Report. That report is the result of a $10 million effort funded by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture to spur progress in meeting demand for regionally adapted high-quality cover crop seed. The program tested 25 different varieties from six different cover crop species. U.S. cover crop acreage has grown significantly over the past decade, reaching about 21 million acres in the fall of 2024. That according to the SARE CTIC National Cover Crop Survey. Here's today's final word. The Chinese owning a farmland in our country is a massive national security issue. The states have begun taking a leadership role to ban the purchasing of China farmland. Obviously, Congress needs to step up and catch up. That's the word of Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins during a cabinet meeting yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, July 9th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Berry Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.